Hey guys, my name is Clayton. I'm the senior pastor here at Central, and we're going to have some fun together today as we look at God's Word and as we pray together and as we worship together. So thanks for joining us. If you're on your couch, if you're driving down the road, thanks for being a part of our worship service today. Right now, we're in the middle of a three-week series where we're talking about what it looks like for us as a church, as Central Baptist Church, to fulfill our mission statement together. And our mission statement is to live for Christ, to love people, and to make disciples. And so last week, we kind of started talking about the very beginning of that mission statement, to live for Christ. And what does that actually look like? How are we supposed to do that as a church? And we looked at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, which says, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who did this. He loved me and he gave himself for me." And so we kind of realized that, when it comes to living for Christ, we have to realize first that Jesus is living inside of us. As believers in Christ, that's what he's doing. And when he lives inside of us, then we can begin to live for him as we go throughout this life. And what happens is it produces growth, spiritual growth in our lives. And we looked at last week that we are not supposed to do all of that alone. We're supposed to be together, and we can grow together. So that's what we talked about a little bit last week, about living for Christ together. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I've been missing you guys like crazy. I've been missing church. I've been missing Sunday mornings. I've been missing all the handshakes and the hugs and the high fives and just living life together and being together. One of the things that I've been really missing lately during this whole pandemic is sports. I miss professional and college sports. I don't know about you guys, but that's something that I've been really, really missing. Just going turn on the TV and be able to see sports happen. And ever since I was really little, I've always looked up to professional athletes. And I've always wanted to be a professional athlete. And yeah, I am only 5'6", so yeah, I guess I'm not going to be playing professional basketball anytime soon. But I always wanted to be a professional athlete. And when I looked at them, I always saw that they were just in incredible shape. And almost like they were just the perfect specimen of what a person is supposed to look like. And I was like, man, you know what? I can be that way. You know, I could be that way. And I think a lot of us when we're younger, we're like, you know what? I can do that. I could be a professional athlete. But what happens is you get into your 20s and 30s and 40s and life happens. And now you've got the dad bod, you know, and everything is kind of just changed. And I think the reason is because we're not really willing to put in the work that a professional athlete puts in. Because you see, a professional athlete, they have a specific diet and they have a specific exercise regimen that produces a professional athlete's body. And so today we're actually going to look at, in Acts chapter 2, what it looks like for us as a church to have a healthy spiritual body or healthy body of Christ. And so we're going to look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to there. And we're going to look at what Luke had to say, because Luke, he wrote the Gospel of Luke, obviously, but he also wrote the book of Acts. And he was a doctor. And so he knew what it meant to be healthy. And so we're going to look at what it looks like for us as a church to be healthy. And Luke gives us a great idea of what the early church did to be healthy, the healthy body of Christ. So Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we're going to jump into that and we're going to try to see how we can live out the second part of our mission statement, which is to love people. So Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says this: "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and a prayer." And that's it. That's all we're going to look at today. Just that one single verse. And I love this verse because it is like the famous slogan, the famous description of what the church is supposed to be about. We can be about a whole lot of things, but the Bible says this is what they were devoted to. This is what the thing that they really rallied around. And, you know, there's famous slogans in our lives that we look at, and we look at different companies and businesses and products, and we go, you know what? I know what that's all about. Like, for example, when I say the word Nike, you can say the slogan, which is "just do it." Or Apple is "think differently." When you go to Wendy's, the slogan is "where's the beef," right? Or when you put some M&Ms in your hand, the slogan for M&Ms is "melts in your mouth, not in your hands." Or maybe one of the most famous ones is when you're going down the grocery store aisle and you look up and you see the Wheaties box, you know the slogan, which is "the breakfast of champions." And so we're going to look at what is the slogan of the early church. What were they all about? So a couple things real quickly to talk to you about. The first one is this. They were devoted to Scripture. Their devotion was Scripture. This was their diet. When you think about a body and what you consume, you want to consume healthy things, or maybe you're going to consume some unhealthy things. When it came to the early church, this was their diet. Their diet was Scripture. And here's what it says. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The church was devoted to certain things, certain activities, and one of them was a healthy diet of Scripture. And in this life, you and I, we can go to a lot of things for advice. We can go to a lot of things for guidance and answer. But you know what the early church ran to? They ran to God's Word. Because Scripture, here's what it does. It answers something for us. It answers how are we supposed to live? How am I supposed to navigate through this life as an individual, as a dad, as a husband, as a pastor? How am I supposed to navigate through this life? How am I supposed to do this? And Scripture teaches us how to do that. Something we're supposed to go to and consume it just like the early church did. And we see this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. And you know what? As a church, as Central Baptist Church, this is who we are, and this is who we're going to be as a church. We're going to be a body of believers that relies on God's Word. We're going to be a body of believers that preaches God's Word. We're not going to preach our own opinions. We're not going to play on people's emotions and try to coerce them into following Christ. No, we're going to go to God's Word, and we're going to preach the truth. And that's what we're going to be about, because Scripture is sufficient. It is all we need. And so the study in the Scripture, this was their diet. Simple as that. That's a simple message today of what the early church was about. Their diet was Scripture. And this must be what we consume as well. But you know what? When you're getting healthy, if you're trying to like physically get healthy, maybe you can start eating correctly. So you put the cheeseburgers and the fries down, right? And so you get out some vegetables. And you get out some fresh fruit and whole grains and things like that. And you start trying to eat healthy. But you know what? The church didn't just do that. That's not the only thing they did. And when we are trying to get healthy with our bodies, we can't just consume the proper things. We got to do something else. We have to exercise. And let's look at the second part of this verse to see what the early church did. So it says this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They devoted themselves to the Word of God, to Scripture. And that was what they consumed. It was their diet. But you know what they did? Their activity was each other. Their activity was each other. This was their exercise. This is the thing that they consumed them. This is the thing that they were all about. It says that they were devoted to fellowship. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to be together and do the Christian things that they're supposed to do, that they're called to do. They want to do those together. And throughout Scripture, throughout the New Testament, there's a ton of examples of what we call one another passages or one another verses. And it's where the writers and the Holy Spirit teach us what it looks like for us to be believers in Christ living together. If you don't believe me, here's a couple of them. This is the tip of the iceberg, but I'm going to go through these kind of quick. Here's some verses that teach us what it looks like for us to be together, to have our activity as each other. John 13, 34 through 35 says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. The new commandment is this, to love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove this. They will prove to the world that you're my disciples. How are we supposed to know if we're believers in Christ? How are people from the outside supposed to look at us and know? The Bible says they're going to know by our love. Romans 12:10 says, love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honoring each other. Galatians 5:13 says, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Not for yourself. Use it to serve one another. Galatians 6:2 says that we're supposed to share each other's burdens. Ephesians 4:32 says to be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Just like what Jesus did for us, we're supposed to forgive other people. Philippians 2:3 says, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. 1 Thessalonians 4:18 says we're supposed to encourage one another. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. You know, the reality is that as a church, we are considered a big family. As a family, as all of you are part of a family, you know how difficult it can be to live with your family sometimes. Why? Because we're all sinners. And so you may think it's difficult to live with your sibling. You may think it's difficult to live with your spouse, but the reality is they're probably thinking the same thing about you, that it's difficult to live with you because we are all sinners under one roof, and it sometimes it can be full of family drama. And this can be a challenge for us today with the church. It can be difficult to live and do all of this with people because people are difficult, but also because we have pride in our own lives. But I'm telling you what, to live with each other, to love each other, and to love people is one of the greatest benefits we have as believers in Christ. This can be an incredible blessing for us. One of my favorite writers and just great men of God is Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was alive during World War II. And in his book, Life Together, here's what he says about the fellowship that we have as believers. Here's what he says. It is grace, nothing but grace, that we are allowed to live in community with Christian brothers and sisters. He doesn't say it's a burden. He says this is an incredible blessing that we have to be together, to do this life together. And so the early church, they had fellowship together. But how were they connected? How did they have this kind of connection? I think the fellowship that we're talking about, what in the world does that really mean? Well, I think it describes at the very end of this verse a couple of ways. And it's teaching us what it looks like to have a spiritual bond. A spiritual bond, that is the link, like a chain. It's the link that holds us together. And you see this at the very end. It says this, to the breaking of bread and a prayer. To the breaking of bread, okay, just like we talked about in the kids' message, and to prayer. These are the things that they were devoted to. These are the things that their activities that they wanted to be a part of. And so we see here that their activities were centered on one thing, and that is Christ. So when we talk about the breaking of bread, some scholars think that it's specifically talking about spending time together and going to people's homes and actually eating a meal together and doing those kind of things together. And the reality is that's probably right. But we also can see that based on the context, the spiritual context of this passage, that when they say breaking of bread, they're probably talking about the Lord's Supper. And when we as a church, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, you know what we're doing? We're centering ourselves around Christ. We're remembering him. We're honoring him. And we're having affection toward him because of the sacrifice he has done for us. And so that's what the early church did. They broke bread together. So maybe it means going to each other's house and spending time together, but also meant that they did spiritual things together. And they centered those spiritual things around Jesus. But not only that, but it says that they were involved in prayer together. Their health, how well that they were living together as believers in Christ was based on their prayer life. And if you look at the rest of Acts and you go through and read those stories, there's several instances in the book of Acts where the early church, they were devoting themselves to prayer. And so when things were going wrong, they began to pray for one another. And when one of the apostles or one of the key figures in the story was having a difficult time in jail or in prison, the Bible says that the believers got together and they prayed together. And when things were going great and they were able to celebrate, they even got together and prayed together. This was what they were all about. It was their vibrant prayer life that was a connection for them. You know, a healthy church is defined by a praying church, by being a praying church. And you know, this early church, they didn't have much. They didn't have the things that we have. I mean, you look around at our church and we have technology we have. There's cameras all over the place right now. And you have the technology you have at your house, and we can still be the church in the middle of this pandemic. But back then they didn't have those things that we have. We are super privileged to be able to live when we live and to do the things we do. But you know what? Despite the fact that they didn't have the things that we have, they rocked the world for Christ. They did some incredible things for Jesus. Why? Because they had great heavenly resources. And they had those heavenly resources, the Holy Spirit working in their lives, because they had an incredible prayer life. And so this simple verse, Acts 2:42, teaches us what it looks like for us to be in community together, to live together, to love people together. And specifically, how do we love each other as the church together? And so every time we open up the Bible, I believe that we should be able to take something away from this. So whether you're in the sanctuary and you get up off out of your seat at the end of a message, end of a worship time, you should be able to take something and say, you know what, I'm going to apply this to my life. Or right now, as in a minute when you get up off the couch or off of your chair, you should be able to say, you know what, this is what I'm going to be about based on God's word that he has been speaking into my life today. And so I wanted to go somewhere. I'm going to take you somewhere and show you what it can look like for our church to live this out together. So y'all come follow me. All right. Thanks for coming and joining me outside. Really, I just wanted to, I've always wanted to, in the middle of a sermon, just to say, hey guys, let's all go outside and we'll finish the sermon out there. And so, man, get a chance to do that today. But really, I wanted to use this as an illustration of how we can be an Acts chapter 2 church. And I believe that's what God is calling us to do right now. As we look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42, look at the early church, we want to be like them. You know what it's like when you're really nervous about something, and something big is about to happen, and so you're about to step onto the field, or you're about to go up on stage and actually have to give a speech or talk to someone, or stand up in front of class, and what do? You take a moment and you take a giant deep breath because you're preparing yourself for something big that's about to happen. And I think that's what God has allowed our church, Central Baptist Church, to do during this pandemic, to take a really deep breath and get prepared and get ready for something incredible, something that's never happened in the life of our church. I think one of the things that God is calling us to do right now is to love one another, like we've never done before, and to be an Acts chapter 2 church. You know, the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, he gives us the ability to love each other. Even when we're ding-dongs, even when people aren't doing the things they should be doing or acting the way they should be acting, we still love them because the Holy Spirit is living inside of us. Or when someone's completely different than us, and maybe they're not in our friend group, or maybe they're not in our neighborhood, or maybe they're the things they're into are totally different than the things they're into, we can still love them because the Holy Spirit is living inside of us. And this is our calling, really, as people, as believers in Christ, our calling is to love each other. In fact, that's how God loves us. The way that God loves me, not only through sending his son to die on the cross for me and sending his son to die on the cross for you, but the way he loves us is through each other. So the way that I feel love, the love of God, is through you and through my family loving me back. And so I think that's something that we really need to do as a church. We need to be people who love each other. And so here's how we can do this. Over the next month, we're starting a ministry called Better Together. And so I'm sitting out here with all of these props just to give you an example and show you what it might look like for us to be a part of this ministry called Better Together. So for the last week, a lot of you have been signing up online or on Facebook. You've been signing up to be a part of the Better Together ministry. Your family is signing up or you as an individual are signing up. And so it's not too late to do that because we actually start tomorrow for this ministry. It's going to last for an entire month, and we want you to be a part of that. So if you haven't done that yet, go on Facebook, go on our main website on the main page, and you can sign up to be a Better Together family. It's real simple to do. And then tomorrow morning, our staff is going to get together, and we're going to partner you with another family. And then we'll let you know what your assignment is for the next month. And the purpose is for us to have a chance to be an Acts chapter 2 family and to be a community together. And so several ways that you can do that. We're going to give you a how-to guide. I think it's actually already online, and you can go and see some suggestions we've come up with, some ways that you can actually love each other and be a community together. And so some of the things we're asking you to do over the next month is just to connect with one another, to get to know someone maybe that you didn't know before that's in our church family, and to care for one another, to love them, and to support them, and to pray for them. So here's some things you can do. You can go pray. Your family could get together and commit to praying every day, every evening for the other family that you are partnering together with. You could go and spend time together, hanging out together. You could go to the park together. You can go and maybe if you want to go to their front yard, bring your lawn chair and bring some games and some activities and a blanket. And you could just have a lawn chair party in their front yard. Or you could bake some cookies for them. You can write some letters. You can go on Facebook. FaceTime and or maybe Zoom, and you can have like some live video stream, shoot a video, send it to them. But it's a way for you to be together for the entire month and to build community and get to know each other and to love on each other. And so the biggest thing you can do is just be creative. And we'd love to be able to hear some ways that you are, as a church, being an Acts chapter 2 church and being in community together. And so, man, through this passage, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we're able to see this is what the early church was all about. And we want to be just like the early church. So, church, let's get together and let's be better together. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for just the beauty of being outside. Man, I love this. I love being outside and being able to just think about what it's going to look like over the next month for us to be better together. And God, we want to be a church that's like the early church. In Acts chapter 2, body of believers, God, I pray you'd help us to be healthy, that we would consume scripture. That would be our diet. And that, Lord, we would desire to be loving towards each other. That would be our exercise. God, that you would make us a healthy body of believers over this next month. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.